Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's the start of a new year, and we're marketers, so you know what that means. A predictions episode. Rich and I thought it would be cool to look forward to what is coming in 2021, because if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that predicting the future is easy. I'm Joe Glover, founder of The Marketing Meetup, a global community that connects and educates over 20,000 marketers in the most lovely way possible. Everything we do it to put the human beings we help first.
I'm Richard Wood. I lead the marketing agency Six & Flow. I've worked in marketing for around 19 years now, and I'm a massive believer in that marketers should be trying to engage with people on a human level, not just treating them as leads and numbers in a spreadsheet. For what was a pretty shit year, there's an awful lot of marketers putting out 2020 roundup posts, but thankfully, we're yet to see any proclaiming this is the year of mobile. And not being ones to want to focus on the past, for our first episode back in the new year, we're looking at our plans and predictions for 2021, kind of like a shit World Cup octopus. Although, I'm pretty sure anybody outside of the UK is not going to understand that reference.
I do like it though.
So, Joe, how was the break?
Do you want the long answer or the real answer or the fake answer? The
well,
answer?
Why don't you start with the long answer, and if it's too long and waffly, I'll just cut it out.
Sounds good. Honestly, I feel like right now I'm in a place where I'm building myself back up. I would say I hit my trough of burnout and anxiety towards the end of December. So from the second half of December, I was just no, don't want to speak to anyone, don't want to do anything, etc. And let the news get on top of me as well. I'd say probably with the turning of the new year, I've turned the corner to a certain extent, and I'm starting to be on the up and up, try and be a bit more positive, try and work through things. And actually, genuinely, we're recording this on the Monday, the first Monday back at work, and I was absolutely buzzing to be back and really excited about it as well, actually. So I think coming from a place of bad but getting good, which is really nice. How about you?
Very, very similar. I think for the first time ever, I broke up officially on the 18th or 19th, whatever it was, of December. And for the first time ever in my career, I was entirely empty. I had nothing left. I was normally I get tired and I can just kind of push through it, but this is the first year ever I was I generally just don't give a fuck. I'm done. I am absolutely checked out for the year. And I was exhausted, not physically, because I'm trapped in a house, but I'm mentally exhausted, to the point where I was getting ratty, with family and colleagues and shit like that. And that's not normally me. And I was I actually started to, my wife shared a post on her, social, some of the key stages of burnout and what to, and I was tick, tick, tick. And I was fuck, I really need to take a step back and just kind of chill out for a bit. So both me and my wife took 2 weeks out, and we just didn't do anything. I had 1 hour in that time that I had to check in for a team meeting. But other than that, I was kind of fully checked out, because I normally, as we've grown the business, normally I would have been I need to be there. I need to make sure that I'm helping do this. And now I think I've finally come to the realization where actually the greatest input I can give is when I'm on fire and I am actually doing the stuff I'm good at in a way that I am excelling in. And if I'm burnt out and exhausted, then everybody around me and the business is going to suffer. So like, I actually, it's the first year ever I've been like, no, I'm not doing anything. Just like, it can wait. Everything else can wait. And it's also a testament to like the team that we've got around us now. So I was only for like working time. So when the office was still open, I was only out for a week. But I've got like a team who like I wholeheartedly trust to deliver what needs to be delivered while I'm not there. And like, so I could actually go, yeah, okay, it's yours. Just somebody else deal with it for a bit. But yeah, I was excited to get back today. Like, and I've gone through my emails and all that kind of stuff, and it doesn't feel like a chore. Although you and I, like before we started recording, we were briefly saying that like, I do feel like there's this overarching thing in the background that is going to slowly chip away. So like, I'm trying to preempt that and kind of make sure that when it's not just that constant kicking for the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think it can be, and it probably will be to a certain extent. One of the few of the things that we've been doing is there's a news ban in the house, you know, so like if the news comes on in the evening, they were like, quick, change the channel, you know. It's almost become, you know, a bit of a joke in the house. And also muting a ton of words on Twitter has been really, really useful for me. So like,
what's on the mute list?
All sorts, like honestly, everything from politicians to I don't know, any form of, you know, sort of like any controversy of any description, anything where anyone gets aggy is like gone. I basically have no Twitter feed left except from people being nice to each other. But honestly, I think there's just something to be said about making a choice on consumption sometimes. And like, I lost that capacity for choice on consumption. And even a news source, which I feel to be relatively reliable in the BBC, was just constant doom and gloom. So I've even blocked that off my thing.
Do you know what I've started focusing on at the moment? Like my main input of like news and kind of outside world, I've just entirely gone back into sport. Like I've just following more and more. So like I'm a West Ham fan, like I've been watching more rugby. I've been like focusing on that because it's its own little like drama scope that is relatively unaffected by the outside world. And it's not typically life and death. And it's just, I mean, there's rivalry, but that's about it. So I've been focusing on that. Like my Instagram feed is full of like golf swings. So
I mean, it is hilarious that you're into golf. I love it. But like, you are becoming the most middle-class person I know, but you are right. It's I love that, actually. I think I do the same, probably unconsciously. You know, so I really, really look forward to when United play. And my dad always used to be the same, actually, that if United played and won at the weekend, then the rest of his week would always have like that little bit of an extra shine or whatever.
Wow, 2020 was tough for you guys.
So, well, I mean, like the first half was, but like the second half is doing all right. So like that's genuinely when United have been winning, I fully agree that there's something quite amazing in sport that's that escapism. And I think even if we can't play it, then at least watching it is something that's really cool.
And we were talking before as well, like one of the things that I'm trying to focus on is like the things in the business and in life that like excite me and like that kind of really drive me. And that's what like I am trying to focus on more this year as well. So that's like one of my not New Year's resolutions, because I don't believe in them, but like it's one of the things I'm trying to focus on this year, is just focus on the bits that excite and drive me. Obviously you've got some exciting shit happening over the next few weeks.
It is really, really funny, actually, because I would say this doesn't need to come across the wrong way, because like I feel very, very fortunate to live the life that I do. But with the baby on the horizon, everything else has kind of been put into perspective that is slightly less exciting. If I'm really honest, the baby is the really, really exciting thing that's going on right now. And the marketing meetup and any sort of business stuff is sort of paling in comparison. That being said, you know, I mean, I think I'm ramping up to getting excited about the marketing meetup again to a certain extent. And I think that's probably part of the building up process that we've already spoken about. But yeah, no, there's some big, big changes. And within the marketing meetup world, then like in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be launching our membership, which is like an absolutely bonkers step for the business. I know it's something that a lot of people are doing at the moment with Patreon pages and stuff like that, but I feel like the thing that we're building right now is really quite special and has its place in the market as well. So yeah, that's big moves.
Well, I feel like that segues beautifully into the what we're talking about today. So Should we go through some of our plans for 2021?
Yeah, for sure. So the way that we thought we'd break it down is that we'd do a number of plans and a number of predictions for the year. So the plans are a little bit more personal and the predictions are a bit more industry focused. So do you want to go first with your first plan for the year?
Sure, I could go first. So like the first one that we've got lined up for this year is, and it's kind of a big one because agencies typically focus on themselves last in terms of their own marketing and the way that we go to market. And we've had the same website design for a couple of years now, and we've had different bits of tech and like various different SaaS products that have been stitched in, and processes and strategies all kind of bolted together. So we end up with this like Frankenstein's monster of marketing, which given what we sell and how we sell it, we need this to be a showcase to show people what is possible. And I think there's elements that we do very well with that on our website, and there's elements that really just don't kind of show us in the best light. So what we're doing this year is we are focusing Q1. We've got the entire dev team focused on building this new site that is going to do everything we need. We've just reworked our marketing strategy. That's coming into play already. And then the new site will go live from March. So that's one of the exciting things. Every time we do a website project, it's exciting for me because I get to play the client and actually go through the process. And I'm like a kid in a candy store who gets to pick all these different techs and pieces that stitch together. And then typically the team will be like, okay, now let's dial it back a little bit to reality. And so, but it's a fun process to go through. So I'm looking forward to doing that this year.
That's really cool. And so what are we'll have to stay relatively brief on each of our points, but what are going to be the main sort of tech tenets of the new site, if you can say?
So it's all going to be built on HubSpot. So the HubSpot CMS, which I won't even go into the details of that, HubSpot is core to our business, but using that enables us to link it into the data that's within the CRM, so we can make it more adaptive and personalized for the people viewing it. And we'll be using a lot of Drift email. So the Drift email bot, depending on like the scoring process that you've come through on the site, we'll be using it to either trigger you directly through to a salesperson or the kind of person who's wanting to come back, or we'll be linking it back through to Drift email, which will then nurture you and kind of hand you off to a salesperson dependent. We'll also be using tech like Ocean.io and Vidyard throughout the process as well, and just making sure it's more intertwined from website visit right through to sales process.
Nice. I don't think I've heard of Ocean before, so maybe that's something for another day. Or what is it briefly?
Data intelligence. So it enables us to look at the clients that we've got and then find other clients similar to those.
Interesting. Cool. All right. Nice one. Well, something to look up afterwards.
What about you? Plan number one.
So I've alluded to it already, but the membership is going to be going live for the marketing meetup. So we're still going to retain a lot of the free stuff that we've always done. So the events, the webinars, they'll always be free to attend or have a charitable donation on the door type of thing. But the marketing meetup membership sort of fills a gap, which I increasingly see. Maybe 5 or 6 times a week, that much, I'll get people come up to me and say, I'm looking for a marketing qualification, or, I'm looking for a place to learn about marketing. And, we obviously teach people how to do marketing and stuff like that, but the membership is going to fill a space which is more like how-to based. So like short videos with experts in their areas, each speaking about like how to do a specific part. So like whether it's event management, PPC, SEO, or whatever, there's some, whatever it is, you'll be able to find a video there and sort of be able to action it right there. And then,
do you know what? I literally had somebody I went to university with, played with, rugby with him at uni, and he reached out to me the other day and he was like, for the first time in his career, he's got access to a marketing team and he wanted to understand the marketing process so he knew how to utilize them. And he came to me and was like, where should I go to learn marketing? I was like, fuck, I don't know. Like, yeah. It's a big question. Like, what part of marketing? And he was like, what kind of just a rough overview of all of it? And it's like, I don't know. So there you go. I found somebody who I will immediately recommend onto Joe.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really exciting. It is the type of thing that I think fills a gap in the industry. I think it's something that for the community, the business is going to be hopefully the lifeblood of how we grow this thing as well. And through growing, do good. But the default answer for me up to this date has been like the CIM and stuff like that. And I think the CIM are fine. You know, I think they do the job that they have to do. But we want to do something that's a little bit more in the moment, a little bit more responsive, a bit more quick and easy, accessible. It's not a £600 course. It's a £10 a month membership, which I think, yeah, it's really, really cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So how about number two for you?
So one of the things I'm focusing on, particularly this quarter, is, and like we talked about previously, I don't really think that far ahead of a quarter, but so this quarter we're focusing on how we can engage with our clients, like past and present, how we can engage with clients better and ideally turn them into almost like a community in their own right. So like making connections between the two of them, because I think if we can connect clients together and foster and nurture that, it's only ever going to add more value to the relationship that they have with us. So we're going to look at some digital events that we can start to do with clients, how we can create kind of micro networking groups, like that kind of stuff. Base it around challenges we'll curate rather than create any content around it. And then actually just kind of foster those relationships. So that's one of the things that I'm focusing on this year.
Nice. So will you have like, I use my previous agency experience as an example here. One of the things that we were always keen to do is get the heads of e-commerce together and just sit around the table and have a chat. So this is going to be a digital version of that. I mean, I guess one interesting thing there is, do you think they will share? Like, you know, because you all being your clients, they're all going to sit within a certain kind of space. Do you think that they're going to be willing to share their lessons and stuff like that? Or is that going to be a challenge?
We don't actually have any like competitive clients. So we don't have any clients that will like piss on somebody else's chips, basically. Yeah. But I think that's also part of that curation process. You've got to bring mm-hmm. together people who are going to show value. And if they are in a competitive space, or they might not have to be direct competitors, but they might be competing for the same pounds. Mm-hmm. But as long as certain groups are curated so that it could be a share all, and other groups are curated so that it could be a like industry trends rather than like the nitty gritty of their businesses, then I don't think it's a problem. Like I'm involved in a lot of like agency groups. I'm well involved with a lot of HubSpot partner agency groups. So my niche, we're competing for the same pounds and we deliver the same services. Mm-hmm. And I will share, I'm pretty like open with what I share anyway, but I will share a certain level of information and not other stuff. But yeah. So I think as long as we're careful with how and what we curate, then I don't think it's a problem.
No, I love it. No, you know, I mean, the very nature of us doing this podcast is about sharing knowledge, isn't it? So
it's not trying to.
Mainly hurling abuse at each other and sometimes sharing knowledge.
What's your second?
So my second one is about referrals. Yep. So again, in the spirit of, you know, humans sharing human stuff and stuff that they enjoy, one of the biggest channels of marketing that we've ever had for the Marketing Meetup has always been word of mouth. And one of the big lessons that I learned in 2020 was, unless you ask, you never get. But I do also think that there's more you can do to increase referrals as well. So one example is that this weekend, there was the lovely Chris from Vibrant Color dropped around some merch for the Marketing Meetup. And like, it was one-off pieces and stuff like that. It was just stuff that he'd done for my Christmas present, which was so, so lovely of him. But I posted it on Instagram and like immediately it got like 70 likes. And then on Twitter, it got another 30, 40, and LinkedIn, it was like another 70, 80 or whatever it was.
Big time influencer stats there.
Yeah. But like, you know, people like that sort of stuff. So I'm going to try, and there's a couple of platforms that we're looking at the moment, one being Viral Loops, which sort of mechanizes referral programs and, you know, offers rewards for merchandise. So for a certain action, sorry. So for example, for us, I think we're going to be building in a referral program for our newsletter, which rewards folks for referring folks to the newsletter. That was a terrible way of putting it, but if we get there in the end.
You speak good England, Joe.
So we're looking to build out the newsletter through a referral program, but I think it's something that could be really exciting. And as we've discussed in the past, I think the email newsletter really is the lifeblood, or at least a big part of our business. So it's going to be important to grow it that way.
That principle of like, don't ask, don't care, I think is a great marketing and sales principle, because it's one of the things, like, as Brits, I think we're kind of brought up to not necessarily ask for that stuff. But when you start, in a nice way, obviously, when you start asking for things and it's within context of what you're asking, you will see a huge impact. So like my email newsletter, I will say like, please like refer this on, or like if you know a colleague that might find this interesting, flick it over to them. Mm-hmm. Likewise with the end of this podcast, we say like, if you don't mind, then can you leave us a 5-star review? And I think it's just those mechanisms of, it's not necessarily asking as much as it's reminding that somebody is getting something, and it would be great for them to give something back in return.
For sure. My favorite place in email marketing, at least, is to put it in the PS. Is always, you know, just like a PS, you know, if you enjoyed this, please
PS, don't be stingy, share the love.
Well, you can use your language and I'll use mine, you know? So how about prediction number three here, I think, for you?
So we are starting off the year with a new webinar series. So what we've tried to do, and this is going to sound a bit counterproductive given we did the HCF summit and you also run a business heavily revolving around webinars.
Are we and now?
yeah fuck you, Joe. But and most of our marketing in throughout the pandemic has been webinar based, and we're not moving away from webinars necessarily, but we're changing the way that we kind of deliver and format them. So we're going to be bringing them in to more of a panel style. And this will come into one of my predictions later, but we're moving away from presentations and focusing more on panels and discussions. Because I think people get, that's what I'm basing this assumption on, is that like people get blind to a lot of like these panel interviews. And one of the things you said to me towards the back end of last year, because I do occasionally listen to you, Joe, is that the reason you feel like there's such a big uptake with the marketing meetup is there's no sales pitch at the back end of it. Like there's no sign up, I'm going to hit you up with a sales message. Mm-hmm. And I think that like when you are delivered a deck that is kind of like, here's all the shit, and you can get great content out of it and you can learn a lot from it, but it's run by an agency. There's an obvious trigger at the end of it, like, now buy our shit. Yeah. And what I don't want to do is have that. I'm a believer in content, and I'm a believer in people having an appetite for that content, but I think we need to change up the format of it. So we're launching a new series that we're calling How to Sell to Me, and basically getting a bunch of CEOs and like business leaders to sit on a panel. I'm going to pepper them with a few questions around how they want to be sold to. So like, what are some of their experiences from being sold to, like good and bad, and just them giving some tidbits. All of these people signing up to us, I don't think realize that they will then get pitched to in that way, but you know, it's a service for everybody. So they'll get better pitches, but also people will learn how to pitch better.
I love it. Well, you know, I mean, if they get better pitches, then that's a good thing, right?
You know, it's the same argument you make with targeted advertising. But like, yeah, but you're going to get better ads.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Yeah, spot on. Personalization 2021. Just kidding. That's not a thing.
What's your final plan, Joe?
So my final one, potentially a bit optimistic, but as you alluded to at the beginning, I think we're going to spend the first 3, 4, 5 months of this year getting the crap kicked out of us from every direction. But hopefully Q4 we'll be able to bring back some form of in-person event, maybe, even if it's small, even if it's definitely not in the shape of 100 people in a room or whatever it is. But there might be a possibility at some point that we could bring back face-to-face events. So I put together my list item here was events brackets hybrid ?
Are you gonna have a no vaccine, no attendee policy?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, that is a genuine point of discouragement for running any kind of live event right now, or certainly not right now, but like at all. Is
hang on, fuck Joe, you've got 20,000 members, why didn't you offer to be part of the vaccination program?
I'm just hoping my asthma gets me higher on the list. So, but you know, I did the thing the other day, and if I don't, if my asthma doesn't count, then I think I get my vaccine sometime between January and June 2022. So
Right.
yeah, so that's why I'm so tentative about the events. But I don't know. I mean, truthfully, I don't know. We literally haven't made any plans to bring back live events yet because it's so far away. But it's conceivable that you need. They were speaking about health passports and stuff like that, weren't they, in the news? So who knows?
All right, hit me up with your predictions. Number one, what are you
Cool.
predicting for 2021? Because obviously this shit will stick.
Yeah. So actually, I've only done two, and it looks like you've done about 400.
Yeah,
So I'm
you told me to do two, and I was like, fuck Joe, I'll make my own rules.
gonna. You're such a renegade. So actually, my first prediction is, for the most part, that it's going to be the same old, same old. So I've been in marketing now for 8 years, so about 10 years less than you. But I am about 40 years younger than you. So, you know, then
Didn't keep your hair for as long though, did you?
but some things have stayed consistent throughout my career, and I hear it more and more, obviously, the more conversations I have. Stuff like the board won't listen to us, or the CFO doesn't believe in marketing. The rush to run towards tactics instead of having any form of strategy before that. And that's not just marketers, that's also, you know, people operating in marketing departments in part of a larger organization. And then, you know, there's always the complaints about being the colouring in department as well, the relegation to the colouring in department. So I would say my first prediction for 2021 is that these things are going to stay exactly the same. I think these cliches will be you know, run throughout the course of the year. They'll run for the next 10, 15, 20 years. I don't think they're going to change. I don't think the board are suddenly going to start believing in marketing, nor do I think that they're going to stop thinking of us as the colouring department, if indeed that's true in those companies. You know, I think these are going to be regular complaints. So that's my first one.
Well, that's fucking depressing.
Well, it might be. You know, I think it's depressing, but I think it's also there's a recognition that there's these challenges there, and you can do something about it. Not every company thinks about marketing as the coloring in department. A lot of companies think of it as something far more valuable. What I'm saying is those complaints will continue to exist, but it doesn't mean that you can't do anything about it. And so we'll have enough content for the rest of our lives because we'll just keep speaking about that. But you know, then I think that will remain the same. How about you? What's your first prediction?
First one is around paid for content. I think paid for content is going to keep coming to the fore. We have more time. Weirdly, we have in weirdly and in theory, we have more time. So we're not commuting anymore. And this is like school closures notwithstanding, because obviously we're in the UK and like primaries and secondary schools are closing all over the place, which will kill that extra time. But at the moment, I didn't commute in today. You didn't commute in today. I won't be commuting this afternoon. There's like another like hour, 2 hours on top of our days that we didn't have. So we have more time for content and we have more appetite for content. And you and I spoke earlier about like we are trying to block out certain content in our life. You're, as a family, avoiding news altogether. You're blocking out certain Twitter. I think there's going to be more of an appetite for premium content. And that means premium, you're going to be paying for it. And I think that's the kind of stuff that is going to keep growing. And I think that's important because it's going to move us away as agencies, as brands, businesses. We're going to move away from that drivel bullshit content of just, okay, like here's the top 10 ways to market your business in 2021. Yeah, okay. Everybody else has written that same fucking blog that stopped writing drivel content like that. And
Prediction episodes.
oh, yeah. I mean, prediction intros, what kind of bellends would do that? But like it's that kind of content that you avoid on the premium channels. But I do think this comes with a warning is that the more people that adopt these, you need to be careful that you're walking a fine line between delivering content and people paying for that content, and that's the service that they are paying for, and effectively turning it into a paid for lead gen source. And I think that, and it's fine, you can be doing both, but you need to be careful that you don't just end up creating a channel that people are paying for you to then sell to them, because that will leave a shitty taste in people's mouth.
For sure. And I think that's something that I've certainly struggled with a lot to a certain extent with the membership. is drawing that line between what's free content and what's paid for content. And I don't think there is a clear line. I think there is just a section which you sort of put off and sort of say, you know, okay, this is that and that's that. But I do fully agree. It can't be another sales channel because, I mean, frankly, that is the sales. You know, if people are in, they're in. You know, it's then a retention play. It's an advocacy play, you know. And yeah, sure, continue, like, innovating and offering new stuff that's going to benefit their life. But don't make it all about that, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
What's your first prediction?
My second
prediction, in fact. The first one touched me so deeply I forgot about it.
He's such a dick. So my second prediction is that, given the world that we're living in right now, I think I'm certainly having a lot more conversations with folks about sort of like, what are the numbers? You know, what are the numbers? We need to prove that this thing works right from the off. It's all about the numbers. It doesn't really matter what I think about it. It's what the numbers prove. And again, this is an observation that has taken place over the course of my marketing career, you know, that the pendulum kind of swings in each direction. You know, there's the kind of intuition on one level, and then there's the data driven on the other level. And I would say probably before the pandemic, it was sort of swinging a little bit towards like the intuition level. And then as soon as people started having their budget cut, or, you know, furloughs or redundancy came in, people were like, boom, straight into the numbers, you know. And I don't think it's a permanent shift, but I do think that people are going to be asked to justify more and more things based on the numbers than they will be able to sort of reserve things for the logical.
So stupid, though. It is such a stupid way to be looking at the moment.
I fully agree with you.
And the reason I say that is because we've just gone through the best part of 12 months of fucking huge flux. Like, everything is a mess. It's all over the place. We've had several new normals and kind of all that kind of shit going on. And like, marketing plans are being torn up all over the place. Mm-hmm. And there is an element of, the data is always going to be skewed and out of place, and making decisions around that data is not going to get you where you need to get to. So I think there needs to be a healthy balance between data and intuition. You need good marketers to be able to go, actually, I'm working on a hunch here, but here's the reason I'm working on a hunch, and let's fucking try it.
Yeah, it's endless. It is endlessly frustrating. And I think one of the difficulties is that it's often tied into bureaucracy as well. So often you'll end up speaking with the executive or the manager in a reasonably large company, or even a medium-sized company. And despite them being hired and being paid X grand a year to make decisions, they're not able to. You know, they have to go back down to those spreadsheets or whatever it may be. And it just, that bureaucracy element where people aren't empowered to make decisions based on intuition and feeling and whatever, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame that it happens that way. I understand why it does, but I just don't think it's the right thing to do. But it is a trend that I'm seeing more, and I think will continue into 2021. By the way, I think the word you used there was balance. And like, I think balance is just the right way to live your life, like whether it's marketing or like life. You know, for what it's worth, I think that's
super deep, Joe.
Yeah, or no, I think, you know.
I agree. It's all right. It's all right. You don't have to defend your stance. I agree with you.
Anyway, what's your first one?
Yeah. So marketers should, and hopefully will, stop focusing on the channel and start focusing on the messaging. So one of my biggest gripes and pet hates, and I say this having done it and still continue to do it, I think we have done it as marketers, is there's a new channel and you get focused on this new channel, like, how can I use this new channel? And I think we always need to take a step back and go, all right, what's the message I'm actually trying to get across here? Like, rather than say, here's a channel and I'm going to start blasting content out of it, actually think about what that channel can be used for and how you are going to use that to promote the message that you're using. And I think we often forget that as marketers. So I think there is going to be, because there are more people, and it comes back into the other points that we've made about the appetite for content, blah, 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 blah. I think marketers are going to have to be more aware of that and not just cutting and pasting straight into a new channel.
Yeah, 100%. It would be an interesting experiment. It's one that I've never done, but if you were to ask 100 marketers what their top three messages that they put out to the market are and who they put it out to, how many of them will be able to sort of list that before they say, you know, I do Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, spot on. I've used up my predictions because we said we'd use two, but you've got a lot more. So carry on, Rich.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Thanks for asking. So my next prediction is that webinars are going to be less formal. And I think they have to. And this comes back onto what we're talking about. And I'm making this prediction based on the fact that that's what we're planning to do. So therefore, I'm speaking for the entirety of the marketing community. So I think people are definitely bored of that presentation format. And I think we need to start focusing on like curating and creating discussions and having people share knowledge as within a group rather than just somebody broadcasting into it. I think there needs to be a healthy mix of, like, I'm not saying all of them have to go that way, but I think we will start to see an emergence of more discussion-based content coming through.
Yeah, I think that's fair, you know. So full disclosure, you know, in this conversation, the marketing of content on our webinars largely is presentation based, and as you say, it has its place, but it's the same logic that applies to any talk ever. You know, you don't say do a talk and people immediately launch a PowerPoint. And it's like, no, you know, use it if it's the right tool to get across the message that you need to get across. If you don't need to, then fill your boots, you know, have a conversation, or, you know, do a monologue, or act it out, do an interpretive dance, whatever you need to do to get your message across. So I reckon that's probably a bit of an overhang from, you know, the talks of 2019, you know.
It's the same people when they give a live presentation want to stand behind a lectern. It's a yep. safety thing. So if yep. you have a presentation and you have kind of your bullet points and your talking notes, all that kind of shit, you know exactly where it's going to go and how it's going to end. And that's why the best speakers that I've ever seen will have images. They've rehearsed it, but they can adapt it to the crowd. And all of the webinars that we run, and it's always like this, is people cite how good the Q&A part was. Yeah. So if you've got a speaker that can foster that Q&A, that's the bit that sticks with people because they feel like they were part of it rather than just spoken at. And I think that's where content needs to move to. But it's going to be a healthy mix. You can't do that with all of them. But I think that's where we're focusing. That's where I think we'll start to see it focus.
Absolutely. Spot on.
Next prediction. So social will start to be seen as more of a primary B2B channel again. So I think it was. And I think everybody was like, oh, we've got to get our brand on Twitter. We've got to kind of make sure we've got a Facebook page. And that kind of shit just died out. Like, I mean, we've got one and it's barely used. Like, it's that kind of channel doesn't really work for us. LinkedIn, yes, obviously it's always been there, but it's been like for you and I in particular, it's been a massive driver behind our business. Mm. But I do think with the extra time and people craving that outside contact with other humans, with like trying to fill their time and wanting to know what's going on outside of the house, mm-hmm. people will start to focus more on those social channels again. We're seeing it. Like, people are using social more. Like, I am, you are, like, everybody is. Apart mm-hmm. from you've muted half the planet on your Twitter feed. But other than that, yeah. And I think that, so B2B will start to use that more and more effectively. But I don't necessarily think it's going to be the logos that are broadcasting out. It will be the people within the business. So I think 2020, we're going to see more of that. We're going to see more people engaging with their business persona on mm-hmm. social.
That'd be really interesting. I think that's always been a challenge. And I wonder whether, you know, based on your prediction, whether the market has evolved to that point. I hope it has, but I remember the challenge of getting folks to tweet out or to post on LinkedIn, you know, from within the company before. And I wonder whether it's become more normalized now, so yeah. people will be willing to do it. I mean, is that what you reckon has happened, or
more normalized, more people mm-hmm. wanting more content? So I think people have been looking for new ways to do things. A lot of the analog processes that we used to sell with and like the kind of the more old school elements of business used to rely on just evaporated. So even they had to adopt and go find new ways of doing stuff. So I think those are some of the driving elements behind it. And I think you'll start to see more and more of that come through in 2021 because it's, it was a necessity, but I think actually people, not just because it's a necessity, but because people now understand what it means. And I think businesses are much more relaxed now. Like business has become more casual and more human because of what's happened. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that will enable businesses to be less kind of, here is the message that you will use and how you will say it. So I think people will be more inclined to share their thoughts and their opinions. And there's more people that they can use as a template or a kind of like, here is what this person is doing with that. Have a look at how they've done it. And people can use that as a fucking blueprint. I was trying to think of the word. Can use that as a blueprint of what they should and shouldn't be doing.
Yep. Spot on. Cool.
Last one. Learning as a service. And I think this like feeds into what you guys are doing. So you're creating a membership platform where people are paid to be part of that. And I think learning as a service, whether it is something that like people are paying to be part of, or you're using it as a like a brand or demand game as part of your marketing mix, I think learning as a service, agencies and businesses will start to deliver these as services into other organizations. So you can go to somebody and start saying, okay, I want to create this learning tools. I think more and more agencies and businesses will pop up enabling that.
It'll be really interesting. You know, obviously LinkedIn have made big sort of jumps into that market, you know, with their learning platform, which seems to be, I haven't used it a lot, but seems to be pretty well thought of. Google did their digital garage. I've recently subscribed to Masterclass as well, and likewise, I mean, the videos on there are
did beautiful. You sign up to the Tony Hawk's one?
yeah, that was the reason.
Because that's why I'm coming.
Actually, you know what? I've got a spare membership, so it's on a buy one get one. Well, I'm thinking if it's still valid, then if someone leaves us a 5-star review, then I will give out that membership. So I'll give away
like that
a masterclass.
Should we give out some swag as well? Well, I know we don't have any swag, but like I'll get some made.
Yeah.
If you are like the first 5 people to leave us a review, the first person will get a masterclass thing from Joe, and then the next 5 people will send you a t-shirt. We have to get them made first, but we will send them.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah.
Don't you owe someone some crochet as well? Anyway, let's move on.
Let's not give away. Cool. So yeah, I think there's some pretty decent predictions, some good plans there for the year. It'll be funny to listen back in 2022 and realize that the aliens have landed and only half the world's no, I'm joking. Let's not go that far.
Fuck Joe. Too soon.
Jesus. Why did I say that? That's horrible. Anyway, yes, it'll be interesting to look back on this in January 2022 and see where the world is and see whether we were right. I enjoyed that though. Thanks, Rich.
It was good fun. Nice to see you, mate. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Take care.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.